This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to Hour 2 of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Someday, I'll have to get a real job. Until then, I'm going to talk sports, and today Nick is going to join me, and we are live once again here at the Blur Tailgate at the Hilton in Omaha, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Doors open daily from 10:30 a.m. to midnight through June 21st, corner of 12th and Cass. Can't miss the big white tent for Blur parties on the south side of Cass Street. This is a 13th annual tailgate with an all-inclusive bar and buffet, 18 TVs showing live baseball games, multiple seating options, including a hammock. Buy tickets at the door, or more preferably, please purchase at www.blurevents.com/Omaha. All right, a little bit of a sports roundup here, Nick. Real quick, some updates, and then we'll get into some over-under win totals. All right, four-star quarterback Jet Tamala has flipped his commitment from Iowa State to Alabama. Are you surprised by this? What's your quick reaction to this?
After Alabama offered and we knew it was committable, I'm not surprised by it.
I was kind of expecting, I don't know Jet, I haven't spoken to Jet, but I'm just kind of like, yeah, that's probably going to happen. Seems likely. All right, next up on the docket, Australian punter Archie Wilson, some of the folks we've chatted with, says he looks good punting the ball, like real good, punting the ball with both his left and his right leg. You ever heard of somebody being equally good punting or kicking with a right and a left leg?
No, but also, is that what we're going to say about Jet Tamala?
I mean, we can say whatever we'd like. What more you want to say? Yeah, well, what you got?
Where are you at with a guy from the state of Nebraska going to Alabama? Is it a conversation that doesn't need to be had, or is it a conversation that's like, you know what, Nebraska, they elected to go one direction. Jet Tamala is going to a blue blood program that's had some of the most success in college football history over the last decade. My hands are washed. We're good.
So I've chatted about it in the past. For me, it's interesting.
Okay.
I'm always going to root for anything or anyone from the state of Nebraska. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to follow if they're a high school player, regardless of the sport, if they go out, obviously in Nebraska, but they go outside of Nebraska, I'm still going to follow them because I'm intrigued how they do. I'm never a fan of when an in-state player – let me finish the whole statement because if I just stop, it's going to sound right? bad. I'm never a fan of an in-state player when they go somewhere else and have success because I'm a fan of them having success, but the thing that bothers me is I wanted them to have it here. Okay. Yep. So as far as him, here's how I've got to look at it. I'm going to follow it. I'm going to talk about it. And I'm going to just see what happens because it's intriguing. And he deserves to be talked about. He's an in-state guy. He's going to a major Division I school. We talk about said things. So I believe following it and talking about it is fair. I think what you have to do in the meantime, or you don't have to, is trust Rule and what he's doing.
Okay.
And if we don't trust this particular decision, I think it's okay because nobody bats 1,000. But when it comes to this particular decision, I'm choosing to trust in Rule. And I will openly say, if about a year or two, I'm like, well, this didn't work out so well, I will backtrack like you've never seen before, Nick.
Yeah. No, nobody's going to be a better moonwalker than Adam Carriker. I just think that this is kind of my approach to it. Similar, right? And as somebody that does a lot of high school games, like I've gotten to see Jet Tamala often.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, and I think it's going to be something that because he goes to Alabama rather than Iowa State and the name carries more weight,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a lot more opinions on it than there would have been if he just stayed in Ames.
That's a great point.
I think, though, and to your part about in 3 years, if it doesn't work out, then, yeah, we're going to look back. This is in no way am I ever saying that a guy is going to be the savior, right, of Nebraska football, especially Jet Tamala. But I just think that overall, this approach to Nebraska's quarterback, just room and situation for the next 3-4 years, hopefully it works. Mm-hmm. Because they are firmly going, okay, we're going to get, obviously, it was TJ Latif in 2025. It's Dayton Raiola in 2026. It's Trey Taylor in 2027, and they're already trying to approach and get commitments of guys in 2028. Like, this is what they're doing. And so they're going to go after a quarterback each class, and if one of those quarterbacks does not pan out or leaves or for whatever reason the ending is controversial, mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of opinions out there.
Well, it's good. Yeah, to your point, it's going to be highly scrutinized, and I think that's 100% fair. When you look at, I mean, TJ is a four-star guy. You look at Dayton coming in. You look at Trey, four-star, potentially a five-star guy by the time he comes here. Jet Tamala, one of the highest recruited quarterbacks in the country, all right? However you want to look at his rating is pretty good. They've obviously made their choice with TJ's here on campus. Yep. I'll be honest with you, what little bit I saw of him, he looks pretty darn good.
I do like TJ
Latif
a lot.
You got Dayton coming in. You look at Trey coming in. And so, for me, these are decisions that will be heavily scrutinized. There will be, if it goes well, as far as the quarterback room and quarterback play, nobody's really going to think about it. If it doesn't go well, there will be connections made, okay? And there will be probably things pointing out in retrospect. But to me, I think it's fair to highly scrutinize some things because the quarterback position is a position that's going to get paid a decent amount of money. There's high expectations. There's a lot of publicity. There's a lot of things that come with it, a lot of perks. And so if it doesn't go well, you're going to look at the head coach, kind of like with Jeff Sims, which is in our rearview mirror now, but with Jeff Sims, and be like, hey, that was a big one to get wrong. Yeah. This is one you have to get right.
That's where it's in this college football world now, coaches can, and I don't know if I know what side of the fence I lay on, because there's on one side, it's me saying, okay, it's as important as ever to hit on recruiting additions, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's important to hit as much as you can in the transfer portal and be successful and have positive results from the transfer portal. But then now also is, if it doesn't work one year, you get another crack at it the next year.
Very true.
And so it is interesting in that I don't know which side of the fence I lay on to where it's very important when you look at Jeff Sims of like, that was a crucial miss mm-hmm. in Matt Rhule's first year. Yep. I mean, let's just call it what it is. I mean, that was a colossal failure.
Yeah.
And whether that was Matt Rhule, Marcus Satterfield combination, whatever it might be. Because remember, Matt Rhule came out and was like, yeah, I have guys, other coaches and people in the NFL telling me that Jeff Sims is
yes,
the NFL quarterback.
I do remember.
And so we're all sitting there going, oh, okay, here we go. And then everything happened throughout the season. So, but then Matt Rhule was able to bounce back and get transfer additions the next season. And it kind of made you not forget, but also compartmentalize what you saw in year one. I don't know what side of the fence I lay on. I don't know if it's easier now than ever for coaches to change their reputation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's more difficult than ever.
I think, okay, well, if you just look at it from a news cycle perspective, like if you're getting a bunch of negative publicity, it's going to be everywhere. People are going to know. It's going to be trending. But also, wait 48 hours. There's going to be a new trending and a new thing.
Yeah.
And so I think people are willing to move on and forget, especially if things are going well, just as quickly as they're willing to hop on what's trending and have fun with it. They're just as willing to move on, but it's about winning. It's about having success.
That's hilarious because Michigan is 2 years removed from a national championship. And what did we talk about Sherrone Moore and his decision to miss Nebraska's game and want to coach in the Oklahoma game instead and things like that? We talked about that for maybe a day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the day it came out and then the next day, maybe not even a full 2 days. I mean, that's a great point, Adam, where it's like, just get weather the storm for 36 hours and then guess what? Go back to business.
So I'll be honest with you. So I've been told by folks at the university, hey, it's a little bit different now. There's trending, there's GIFs, there's memes. You didn't have to deal with those things when you were playing.
Sure.
There's a lot of things that were different. I wasn't making six or seven figures either. So there's a lot of give and take. There aren't three a days anymore like there used to be, what was it, 80 years ago. Then there were two a days. Now there's no more two a days. There's a bunch of give and take, pluses and minuses, however you want to look at it. But as a guy, you can relate to this, as a guy who talks and puts your opinion out there, sometimes you stick your foot or your whole leg or both your feet in your mouth. And sometimes, hopefully you don't do it very often, but every once in a while, because nobody bats 1,000, it happens.
Yeah.
What you do is you're like, well, hopefully it wasn't too bad. Hopefully you can ride the wave. If it's bad enough, you own it, you apologize, you move on. But you know there's going to be another day, another topic, another show. And as long as you can get back on track, that's kind of how it works as a player, as a coach, as someone in the media, as somebody who's going to be analyzed and scrutinized. Because just about everything is public now.
Oh, it absolutely is, especially when you're talking about how you can delete tweets and you can delete things. And
that makes it worse, though, just to point that out. That makes it worse. Sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. But, yeah, you can delete stuff, but it's never actually deleted. Like, we all know that media spiel of, like, oh, just because you deleted it doesn't mean it's not out there, like that whole thing.
Yep,
so
yep.
I just think that now it is not to equate or, you know, to say that me and Matt Rhule are, you know, sports radio guys and Matt Rhule are equal. I at the end of the day, they're on a much more public space than
yes,
we are.
Yes.
And
that's fair.
They're getting compensated for the mm-hmm. responsibilities and yes. they are getting compensated for the risks that are involved in it yes. as well. And so, you know, I think that all of those things are important to take into account. I'm thrilled I'm not a college football head coach. Like, I don't want to deal with that on a daily basis. I took one picture. It was funny. There's a picture of Matt Rhule out there that it was from his first year where he's like making like a stink face on the podium.
Okay.
If I showed it to you, you'd probably recognize
yeah,
it.
Yeah, probably.
I was the one that took the photo okay. and I posted it.
All right.
Well, I made the mistake of not watermarking it.
Oh.
And so everybody just uses it now. And I'll be scrolling through Twitter and stuff.
Yep.
But it's like, dang, you know, I could have done something with that photo. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's yeah, you put something out there and it never goes away.
Man, it's so funny because so I'm 41. You're 24. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, that's correct.
When I look back to how I viewed things coming out of high school, I was 17 when I graduated versus how I viewed things when I graduated college at 22 versus at 30
yeah.
versus now at 41. Like, dude. I would like to think that I've evolved and matured. Maybe I've just grown older. I don't know. But hopefully I've evolved and matured. But I look at the same thing so differently. Like when Twitter and Facebook were first around, if somebody left me a comment on social media that was negative, it would ruin my day.
Really?
It would ruin my day. Now I'm just I'm that guy that'll block you and just move on. And people are like, oh, you're sensitive. No, I'm busy. Like, I got a life to go live.
I just don't have time for this.
Yeah, well, don't flood up my timeline. Like, it's not that I'm sensitive. It's that I don't want to see this. And I got, with all due respect, probably another 100 other things coming in. So I'd rather pay attention to those. Now I'm just it's really hard to actually get under my skin. About the only people who can get under my skin is, honestly, my wife, obviously. Okay, she's very important to me. All my kids have the ability to get under my skin, but for whatever reason, my son has the ability to get
is
under
that
my
right?
skin. Yes.
Is he aware of this?
No.
Okay.
And he doesn't listen to the show that often. He's usually doing baseball or football okay. workouts right now, so I'm probably safe. But he knows just a little thing to get right
yeah,
under my skin,
nudge.
And I just cannot show him. I can and if he hears this when I walk through the door, I'll hear about it. But anyways, it's outside of those two people. It's kind of hard to get under my skin because I would like to think that I've gone from, oh, my God, one negative comment. My day is ruined to, hey, I'm just going to block and move on and move on to the next thing. But anyways, I'm glad you wanted to revisit the Jet Tamala thing because it's one of those things I'm going to talk about a bunch.
Yeah.
So sometimes I try to move through it, sometimes too quickly, because I know I'm going to come back to it probably for the next few years.
Well, I just think that, like, you know, we can go back, and this super, you know, precedes Matt Rhule and their entire staff. But, I mean, we can go back through all of the misses that not only Nebraska has brought in, but also has actually missed out on in
yes.
the recruiting cycles.
Yep.
And so we still talk about Xavier Watts as one mm-hmm. that's been very notable the last couple of months and his time at Notre Dame. And, you know, you just go up and down the list. And as Nebraska – but this is where also I think Nebraska high school football getting better – with it getting better, this is going to be more normal.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, like, Georgia deals with this every day, every
yes.
year. Georgia deals with this every year of maybe it's a much larger scale. And Nebraska high school football will never be able to be equal to Georgia preps football or Texas football or whatever it mm-hmm. might be. But what I mean by this, as Nebraska's prep landscape continues to evolve and improve, you're going to have to deal with these stories. And I specifically say deal with it because get out of your feelings and just move on. You're going to have to deal with people just moving on and being some more successful at other places. Georgia has to deal with it too. What? Georgia probably pumps out 200, 300 high school, college football players a year.
Mm-hmm.
We hear about maybe 50 of them up here in Nebraska, but maybe down there they hear about 150, 200 of them. But I guarantee you the University of Georgia or Georgia Tech isn't going, 3 years later, man, we missed on that number 79 wide receiver out of high school. Like
yeah.
we missed. No, because the backyard, there's a lot more to pick from. And so I just think that this is one of those, like, learning experiences for Husker fans and just the casual football fans that do invest time, effort, and energy into recruiting and watching recruiting is that as Nebraska high school football gets better, which is a good thing, that's a good thing for the state. It's good that Millard South is flying down to Arizona for a game every year. It's good that Westside is sending their coaches to coaching clinics in Missouri that have over 50 Division I head coaches at this at the Hotel Convention Center. Like, those things are important because then it allows Nebraska to stay on the map when you're talking about recruiting. Yeah.
I think football in the state of Nebraska as an overall whole keeps improving and getting better, especially in Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some folks that are working on doing the same thing in Lincoln. I know it firsthand because my son is playing high school football, going to be a sophomore. But particularly in Omaha, it just keeps improving and ascending at a very rapid rate. It's interesting because I heard this, it's been 3 or 4 years, but I've never forgotten it. There are 4 schools in the country, to your point about Georgia, that could just recruit within the 100-mile radius around their campus and every year end up with a top 10 recruiting class. Jeez. If they just got those players. Those 4 schools are Texas, Georgia, USC, and Miami. Ironically, Texas, California, Georgia, and Florida schools. Yeah. But those are the 4 schools. That's how talent-rich the high school hotbed is in those states. But to your point about Georgia, there's just a lot more guys that are available as well. All right, you got any final thoughts before we move on to a couple things?
Like, I'm happy for Jet. Like, I'm actually happy for him, and I hope it all works out. I hope he gets some playing time down there. And Jet is a really, really not only a good kid, he's a very, very good quarterback. Has a great arm. It's fun to watch him. And I'll say it again: if you're just looking for an opportunity to see some really good high school talent this fall, go see him. Like, that's the other way to support these guys. Is that go, you don't have to have skin in the game. You don't have to have a kid that plays on the team or a nephew or whatever it might be. Just go. Like, go spend the $7 entry fee or whatever it is nowadays. Go spend the entry fee and go watch a Millard South State Championship game or a Millard South High School football game, because I guarantee you it's different than maybe the last time you went to a high school football game 8, 10 years ago.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
dramatically different.
You know, I'm still going to follow, and he was here and obviously went elsewhere, but I'm still going to follow a guy like Daniel Kalen.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Braylon Warren, 2027 quarterback out of Omaha. These are all guys that I'm going to follow and I'm going to root for, okay? Go ahead.
Maybe that's another conversation. Look at 2027. You're going to have to go through somewhat of the same Jet Tamala conversation as we are going to go through with Braylon Warren. Nebraska's got their 2027 guy, Trey Taylor. They got him. Braylon Warren's going to be a high 4-star, maybe even potentially 5-star quarterback coming out of the state of Nebraska.
You got to choose. You can't take more than one quarterback a class.
No,
that's a lot.
Exactly.
You got to choose. So.
And so naturally, let's just say everything pans out the way it appears to be going to, and that's Trey Taylor's going to be a Husker, and Nebraska's already got their quarterback for 2027, and that indicates that Braylon Warren will be going out somewhere out of the state. And it will be to a program like a Texas, like a potentially Ohio State, like an Alabama. It'll be one of those programs.
Well, he's already been visited by Ohio State. So to me, it's hard not to get excited about Trey Taylor.
Sure.
I mean, what you see, what you hear when you talk to that kid, peer recruiting out the yin. I mean, we've only got one commit so far for 2027. The last time I looked, we had the number 11 class in the country just based off Trey alone.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Nebraska, this Friday, Nebraska's going to hear the decision on Luke Sorensen, a 4-star tight end.
Yep.
I would indicate, I feel like Nebraska should feel pretty good about their chances there. They just got that offensive lineman yesterday.
Yep.
But there was also a comment on Instagram. Somebody posted a guy that visited Nebraska with Luke Sorensen. Posted a photo out yesterday, and I'm blanking on the name, of course, when it matters most. Lights are too bright for me. But anyway, I'm blanking on the name. However, he ends up posting, he's like, hey, you know how recruits do it. They go, home. Is this home or whatever?
Yep.
And Luke Sorensen comments and goes, you know where home is, and put a corn emoji. And so I would indicate that you don't have to have sources there to feel like they got a pretty good chance at landing Luke Sorensen, a 4-star tight end on Friday.
You know, it's interesting because I feel like peer recruiting is something that is taking off, as
there's
I'm sure you know, $500,000 right there.
Yep.
Is something that's taking off more and more than ever. I don't remember a whole lot of peer recruiting, maybe a little bit when I was coming out.
No.
Maybe it's because, I don't know, maybe nobody wanted me to come, but I didn't see a whole lot of it in general. You didn't hear about it. Now it's something you hear about quite a bit about, and you got Trey Taylor doing it. Luke Sorensen, hopefully that's a good indicator, as you pointed out.
Right.
Doing it. And I feel like peer recruiting is something that's going to be huge in college football going forward. and hopefully huge for the University of Nebraska football program going forward as well.
I think you mentioned peer recruiting. I think a big part of it started in like the middle 2010s. Yeah. Like the first class that I truly remember peer recruiting being a massive part of it was it was under Mike Riley, and it would have been like that whole Calabrasca.
That's
movement.
Yes, Calabrasca.
Like,
I remember that.
Like Tristan Jebbia, and yep. At the time it was it was Brendan Radley.
That's right. Yes.
And like even guys like Darnay Holmes, who was a 5-star linebacker from the state of California. Like even those guys. That's who I remember when like peer recruiting became the biggest.
Yep.
Was like that Brendan Radley Hiles Buki, as we all knew him, and he eventually went to Oklahoma. That is where I remember peer recruiting really starting to take off.
That's a great point, actually. What's interesting, maybe I shouldn't point this out, but a lot of kids from that class ended up going elsewhere or committing elsewhere or doing something at that point. So,
and then, do you remember, just to bring up names?
Yeah.
Brendan Radley Hiles, TJ Pledger, obviously Tristan Jebbia, Keyshawn Johnson Jr., Chase Williams was a 4-star defensive back. Mario Goodrich was a 3-star defensive back that ended up going to Clemson. And it was like that meme of Leonardo DiCaprio, like sitting up in the recliner, like pointing like, hey, when I was watching a college football national championship and Mario Goodrich deflected a pass from Ohio State in the end zone in the national championship game. And I was like, wait a minute, Mario Goodrich is playing for Clemson. So there was a lot of names back then that, and Husker fans, I'm sure on the text line can rattle off all these massive recruits that visited Nebraska but didn't come here.
If they want to, they can. That's certainly their choice. You don't have to either.
Let's go down memory lane.
Yeah. So, all right, we got a quick break. When we come back, got some quick updates, Husker sports roundup in general, and then over under win totals for Nebraska. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.